Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podmation update, probably number 16. It's hard to get control of it. So these are where I just basically report on the software development associated with podcasting. So I myself am podcasting so that I can get into the routine of speaking and delivering information verbally, which is a key thing you have to do it as a teacher, and I'm doing this as part of rehabilitation. And you might think, it's good enough as it is. However, there's always things to improve. You've actually got to get on a basic, fairly consistent program where you can monitor your improvement and not just set a standard that you're pleased with. You've got to really get up to it, exceed it, so you can actually pick out other areas of cognitive development that you have to work on. And in the background, part of this is the development to get back into computer programming and automation. So I've automated the actual podcasting stuff, and this is with fairly restricted software, sort of computer management software, which is robotics software. That's the whole thing about robotics, is that there's a whole lot of robots which are essentially computers, and a whole lot of sensors which are computers, and you go to get them to talk to each other and work together fairly independently. And you've got to operate it in a modular fashion where you develop some capability, and then you may want to remove that capability from one section of a factory to another. So you've actually built it, the actual automation, in close to what you're trying to automate. I'm not actually overdevelop things, because you want to take, you know, manufacturers' software packages that they're developing and updating around. So you don't want to actually include software which isn't going to be looked after. So that's been done with the podcasting software, and it's been going through various phases, where there's been sort of a strategic, I'm just checking myself before getting this car go past. So it is a podcast while driving, so you hear me. This will be a fairly short trip, and sort of the longer deal podcasts really require, I suppose, sunlight. They sometime in an extended period of time. Just see where these people are going. I have to stop for this. Yeah, all going across, these two people with dogs crossing in front of me, all with their pooper scooper bag. Seem good citizens here. It's going through this, you might think, sort of minor stage where I'm just tweaking it up from sticking the USB, the dictaphone in, and pressing a button to it automatically detecting it and putting it in and managing the dictaphone. Now, that may not seem much. It's only, say, maximum 5-10 seconds that can be involved in, because even though it's just press a button, you have to actually switch on the computer, put in the password, all that type of stuff, the screensaver, and, you know, that type of stuff. And so if the computer's looking all the time for the USB or the dictaphone, it will automatically put it on and up while you're, and do that in parallel. So all up, that actually saves you no time whatsoever. Now, that's an increment. Another one, a small increment, was converting, obviously, if a podcast, you want to just, a quick look on it, you've got a series, you just want to look that you're putting the right thing in there. I want to listen to them. So moving all the podcasts into commuter memory means fast access. But then you want to play it. Now, one of the things is you can actually just send the actual file to Chrome, the browser. The browser's smart enough to actually set up and begin playing it immediately. Okay, you're going to let me through, mate? Okay, this is a narrow railway bridge I'm going underneath. So it's the passage has been come back truly from horse and buggy time, not horse and buggy time, but you know, that era. That's the bridge there, so the modern road goes down to one lane underneath it. It's too expensive to upgrade. So this is essentially what you do, is you've got your information and you can say, oh, what application have I got up and running? What application do I want to use? Now, of course, Chrome's a bit icky because it's good on one aspect to it, because you can say just, you can put an add-on to Chrome and just say play one thing at a time. I'm nearly at the actual local shops, so this will be a two-part podcast. And a car behind me, just checking everything's going. Rather than sending that, to send it to VLC. Now, to VLC is slightly different. Chrome is up and available as an executable, and you can just say Chrome this URL. You can Chrome and just chuck a URL at it, and if the URL is an MP3 file, it's going. But instead, I want to pick up VLC, and VLC is a little bit different. So that's a media player. So it's quite good. We've got lots of handles on it, lots of people who understand it, methods and properties. And so you open up a Windows, ActiveX container, which is a front panel. So all applications produce assets which they display into their container. If they're written properly, mine aren't anywhere near that close. And you can then start to open up levels of the program as if you were actually... So the program actually doesn't go up into your Windows. It's the program's now running completely beneath the surface, sort of subconsciously. You can open it up, and it's just a whole series of stages to open up, and essentially you can then... into the playlist, write a playlist into it really quickly. You know, within milliseconds. You know, this is all done on the fly, and then get it to play and listen to it. And this gives you a lot more control. You can decide when it plays, how it plays, and stuff like that. But then, what's this sort of demon thing is that you've got this application sitting. Running on your computer, and you have to be able to close it down. I had a horrible time. I just move. We can hear, mate. Okay. So I have to finish up soon. So this is when you've got applications. When I first discovered this, I thought, oh, yippee! And I didn't pay any attention to closing any of these applications down. And my poor little Windows machine that was for like 400 megahertz or something like that just gave up the ghost. You know, within an hour. So within an hour, I would have opened up thousands of applications, all sitting on top of each other. So you've got to really close it down. And so now you can actually just finger a file, put your finger in, say, have a little listen. I'm just going to think about it. I might put a switch to manage it. Now, this is all okay. The big problem is that you now have to exit your program properly, because when you exit, you can get this program running in the background and it will go off happily continuing to play it, because as you call it VLC, it's music, it won't shut down because another program shuts down. It's all independent, so you have to actually tap it on the shoulder, say enough now, shut down, and close it down, and it collapses in computer memory. It's not there. But the problem now is that if you brutally close your program down, say enough, I don't care where you are, shut up, I'm going to do something else now, your VLC can be up and running. So that opens up a huge number of things. Now, the overall thing about this is that it actually means that, and it's this process of things. Like, when you're developing something, and something takes 15 seconds, and it takes you overall 3 minutes to do something, there is no benefit in going, reducing that 15 seconds to three. That's no benefit to it. Because overall percentage, that's a very small percentage. But when you've trapped everything down, got everything nicely running, say taking 20 seconds max to do it, if you can knock out that 15 seconds, reduce it to three, you've got a massive, that same software that you introduce is a massive improvement, and it's worth the risks and the time investment to go ahead. So it's one of these things that you can do, look into your software and look at many different things that you can do. And there's things which are doable, and you can obviously, as you're developing the software, plan for this to happen. And of course the VLC software, which is like a Windows Media Player or something like that. I suppose I could have done about Windows Media Player, but you wouldn't. The VLC is just superior in every form. It doesn't take up as many assets. It's upgraded all the time. Yeah, so you send information to VLC, and people all over the world are upgrading VLC, so it's going to improve. So the overall thing is, by holding off, having a 15-second turnover solution. It's not 15 seconds, but it's got a whole lot of other assets. Time's only one aspect of it. Solution which takes you 10 minutes to program at the start is far better. It's a far better deal to go than actually having to learn a slightly more complicated thing, which could, if it goes badly, take you 9 hours. I don't know, it took me an hour or something like that to program VLC. Then that's at a time when the programming in general is going to go down that path. So you can do a lot of detailed programming, but it actually doesn't, doing things quickly to maintain the maximum flexibility to try it out, to work out what path it goes down, rather than perfecting everything up. And so now it's a very high speed thing, and I should be able to actually get the content out there far more quickly. Now I'll have to say goodbye. I'll possibly do the second part of this podcast on my drive back from the shops with my shopping. Just continuing on, it will sound almost as though no time has passed, but I've been in the shopping centre buying all various things like pet nail clippers and bread rolls for people coming across for a barbecue a bit later on. And we were talking about Podomation, individual software, and the fact that the system's up and various upgrades are coming through in a time where they have a dramatic impact. So if you have something, as I said before, a drop from 15 seconds to no seconds whatsoever, no perceivable time whatsoever, that is not such a major thing if it's taking 5 minutes to do something. But if you were, once all those time periods collapse, it's a thing to do. There is another reason for doing it, is when you're automating or bringing things online in a factory, you'll order various things, and you have to actually get the automation mocked up pretty quickly to check all the components together, and so the people you're working with can actually see the actual process going through. You can actually identify, say, if a piece of equipment you buy isn't the right type or the wrong type, you can recover from it. In general, out here in Australia, when I'm building automated production lines, I always like to produce a double. So you order, if you've got enough money, you can order two of everything, and of course, sometimes you open product up, it takes a long time to come out to the United States, I might only be able to get you one out of the two you ordered. Of the two things, you can actually see if it's not working because it's broken, or it's not working because you haven't actually wired it up first, or there's just a whole lot of reasons for us going to watch this. So, yeah. So there's that reason that getting it to go end to end, we can actually operate very quickly, and you can see when there's faults in the system and get things up running rather quickly, and then you can get a fast implementation, but then you can get a another implementation in a software family which is going to be supported long term. So at any point in time there'll be two or three software families per area that you're looking at, and they'll be supported in different ways. So like machine vision is one aspect that it's like it's hard to say. So often when people sell you something, there's software development kits, SDKs with it, and it's, you know, a really big question to see at what level you invest in working at different software development kits. So machine vision is one aspect of it. Now, the sort of proxy machine vision in podcasts, obviously, is voice recognition, and I've just, what a tooth puller. It just doesn't work for me so far. So I've got to work that out so it can actually tear apart podcasts as a gift. So ideally I'd like to be able to just say, this is a podcast, blah blah blah, these are the questions, this is it, and it just picks it up, voice recognitions, publishes it, and it's all completely done. So it's almost live. If I could have it Bluetoothed, it would be live for podcasts, it would be completely produced, music and all done offline. It might take, I don't know, a few minutes to churn through, but so the machine vision equivalent, the machine vision that I was using with the robots, the equivalent of this is voice recognition to see whether I can get it through. And of course I've got a sort of a broad target to produce, that is the rate of podcasts about specific lessons. There's also areas to develop, which is sort of some real chestnuts, so to speak, that I have to develop. One is where is the local community, where is it with respect, if I'm coming in at a high innovation level, what's the politics, what's the diplomacy? I remember in my MBA, one of my MBA lecturers had written an article. He was a 3M, who used to be the general manager of 3M Australia, John Waters, who's probably, I don't know where he is now. It's hard to say. You never think of these people growing old. But he's talked about the diplomacy of innovation. That is to understand that how people will react in unusual ways to innovation. So at the moment, I'm sort of covering as much innovation as I can from the outside, so that when I do actually come back to teach, I've got a podcast, a series of mobile phone assets, and I want to start looking at this thing of producing a podcast multiple choice. So yeah, I could actually go through, this is a multiple choice on such and such a topic, here's the question, and here's A, B, C, D, what the answer is, bling, with all of its music. And that would take a long thing to produce. What I really want to do is just question, answer 1, 2, 3. Next question, 1, 2, 3. And it then flushes that out to a complete automated program. Look, I've come to the end this, there's a lot more to, I suppose, discuss. And it's sort of rather hard to visualize at this point in time because there's a, and this is in the Podomation because there's actually a series of, sort of satellite. If you can imagine Earth, the planet Earth, a series of satellite programs, applications, which have to be sort of controlled, and then there's a program which then harvests the whole group of podcasts, puts them together and feeds them to an app writing program. So there's actually at least three separate, domains, and within those domains many little subroutines, which I'm mixing and matching and moving up, just going forward, and I've got to really maximize the rehab benefit of doing all of this. I mean, this is without guidance. Thanks a lot for listening. Catch up with you later. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. How you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.